Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
First pitch. And Correa lines it deep to right field. Judge is going back at the wall. Looking out. See you later. See you later. See you later. See you later. Astros even the series at a game apiece on the walk-off home run by Carlos Correa in the bottom of the 11th.
And Mahomes will gun it long, trying to get a free play. The pass is up for grabs, and it is caught! Touchdown, Kansas City! Welcome back, the Cheetah!
She set up a screen, right side at the 15, two blocks at the 10. Damian Williams, 5, touchdown! Because I'm happy. Play action fake. Mahomes holding it, hit! The ball's out, a fumble at the 5!
First and goal to go. Texans at the 2. Give it off to High. Goes off left guard and a touchdown for the Texans. Deshaun Watson takes the snap. Fakes it to High. They want to run an RPO. Watson will hold it. He is hit and spins for the end zone. Touchdown Texans. And the Chiefs are going to lose two consecutive home games and lose this one after leading 17-3 at the end of the first quarter.
And now, busy working on his fundamentals, Seren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us. We certainly appreciate the time you give us here in the program on a beautiful, spectacular day where at least the sun is shining and it's warm in mid-October. I'm reminded of the immortal Bill Grigsby who said, "Don't go home, kick the dog. It's just a game." I will remind people, it's just a game.
The people you're mad at are more mad than you are.
Well, we hope.
Most of them probably took that loss a little tougher than the average fan.
Have you had 30, 40 million coming to you? Would you take it tougher?
If I had, I will assume that the average NFL player has some pride in performance
so,
and will
but
to win.
Where,
I mean, that thing got hurts. Yeah,
you're
sure,
making a blanket statement. Yeah. I definitely think there are some fans that take the loss harder than some of the players.
You're probably right.
It's just human nature.
They probably shouldn't, but it's okay if they do. It's part of being a fan, man.
And
you get wrapped up, and then when they lose, it hurts. When they win, it's fantastic.
And because you're gifted with a skill set, does not mean it has to matter the most to you.
We've seen players that are...
That's right.
Or like that. It's sports is something they can do.
But we're pissed here. And we're going to scream and yell and blame everybody for it for 4 hours. Well, probably not.
Three and a half hours.
Yeah.
I mean, close. We do have to take some commercials. I mean,
yeah, that's right. Got to mention our good sponsors. Chiefs lose 31-24. It sucks. It's not the end of the world. There are problems. We're now 2 weeks past my four-week grace period on the defense. It's not looking better, and I don't know how much better it can get. I have little optimism that it's going to suddenly become quite good.
Same. Because the guys you got are the guys you got.
That's right. Had the question last night on Sunday Sound Off, injuries, talent, or coaching? Of course, the answer is yes, all of the above. It's always what it is. It's always. If you had to prioritize it, I actually think, and the question was not on the defense, it was just on winning and losing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had to prioritize where you would put it, coaching was what my two cohorts said.
That's three on my list.
Yeah, it's three on mine, too. I said I couldn't disagree more. The other two are pretty close.
I say talent one, and then injuries affecting the talent.
See, I say injuries because I think if they were injury-free, I do think they would have won each of the last two games.
Right. But to me, that goes back to not having enough talent.
Well, but injuries, but you've got to comprehend injuries are not just the people who don't play.
Right.
It's the injured quarterback that is playing.
Right. That's true.
And I think if Patrick Mahomes isn't hurt, even if all the other injuries are there, they might be 6-0.
Sure.
I hate to give credit to Sam Mellinger. Which pains me.
Yes.
To give credit to our friend Sam Mellinger, who just was kissing up to Andy Reid today at the press conference.
Big old smooch.
He'd tell you the same thing about me.
Yeah.
We were having a good time about that. But Sam had a really good stat that Mahomes was like 10 of 16 for lots of yards before the ankle got rolled up on, and 9 of 19 for not so many yards after it.
And in that fall, banged his head, if you look at the replay, pretty hard on the turf.
He did not have a problem with that. Stay tuned. I don't know if we'll hear it in the It is. It's in the part we're going to play here. At 2 o'clock, of course, we'll play it in its entirety at 5 o'clock. Patrick Mahomes with us here on a Monday. Normally on a Wednesday, short week, it bumps up to a Monday that we'll have our conversation with Patrick Mahomes today. I was out at the practice facility to talk to him a little bit earlier. Also, Nate Taylor's coming up at 3 o'clock. And
no butt kissing from Taylor today. Just straightforward journalism.
Long existential question, perhaps. Right. Perhaps. We'll find out. As long as we were everybody in the media was critiquing. Well, at least four or five of us were critiquing each other. So,
a natural reaction. I think it's a human impulse.
My scorecard is it was 1-1 Sam and Lebo on the kiss up questions today. Sam threw me in there, totally uncalled for, I think. In fact, we can find no record of even the question he's talking about.
Nope.
But I digress. I actually don't mind the question. I don't think I was kissing up. We might play it and say, am I kissing up with this question? Right. You might say the question sucks. And I'd be like, I disagree, but I'm not going to waste any time arguing with you. That's fine. We'll see. We'll see if we have time for it, because there's a lot to get to. Anyway, Nate Taylor will be with us. Two-minute drill at 4. You know we like to do that every Monday and Friday. Trent Green, because we've got the current quarterback of the Chiefs, Trent Green's going to be with us in the 4 o'clock hour, then Patrick Mahomes at 5 o'clock. Your phone calls, your thoughts, your reaction coming up right now, 913-3810-810, if you'd like. We're going to hear a little bit from the quarterback coming up here shortly as well.
Mm-hmm.
So grab a line right now. We'll touch on the quarterback. But we'll also take your phone calls. I'd like to hear your reaction about this game. A number of things jump out at me in regard to this game. First of all, like I said, the defense personnel is an issue. Talent is an issue, but more so in injuries. The Chris Jones injury is huge. They did not look as good. With Chris Jones, I don't think this is near as good a running team as the Indianapolis Colts, and not having Chris Jones in there I think did make a difference. Whether it was the ability to pressure the quarterback and get him into downs where they couldn't run the ball and do a better job in pressuring the quarterback to create different downs and distances that wouldn't have made it as easy to run the ball.
Right.
I know Chris Jones isn't really considered a hammer against the run, but I think you know they certainly missed him desperately. In that game, so that was a big one for this team. But, you know, beyond that, we again saw some plays that could have been made by the offense, some penalties that went against them that, you know, really cost them to where if the offense makes more plays and doesn't go almost two full quarters without a score, maybe that's enough to get them through this game. But they weren't able to do it. And that comes down to injuries and talent. I agree with a lot of what I've heard. You know, the linebacking core, they're not blowing anybody up. I mean, it's just – it is what it is. The D-line, I've got some questions. There's definitely a talent issue. I pointed this out last night. I think I pointed it out on the program as well. One of the issues, though, remains that we are still a little ways away from getting to the point that this is Patrick Mahomes – or, excuse me, Brett Veach's full roster. when the two most expensive defensive players on your roster, based upon the cap hit, which is it's the cap you got to stay under, are Justin Houston and Eric Berry, it's clearly not all your defense. Okay? That's a big part of it. That's 13, in fact, that's over $14 million right there. Now, what could you do with $14 million on the market? Now, nobody ever gets to where they have $0 in dead money. You know, part of getting a guy signed is inflating the numbers, knowing you're not going to get to the final year and walking away from it. So there's always going to be a percentage of your cap that's on the dead money. But what you want to strive for is a very low dead money number. And just those two in particular, I won't walk on by, me personally, because I said both these deals are bad deals at the time that they happened.
Yeah, it's not hindsight.
Much more so on Eric Berry than Justin Houston. And I'm going to tell you, availability is a big part of it. Houston, I didn't mind as much because to that point, he'd been, for the most part, a healthy player. But I said, listen, yeah, I don't think you ever want to be in the business of having anybody other than the quarterback be the highest paid player at their position. You know, they've gotten a Tyreek Hill for the wrong reasons. Tyreek Hill is going to end up being kind of cost effective. Right, I don't think any organization sets out to be, and let's be publicly embarrassed for an entire offseason so we can bring that cap number down. I don't think there was any way that that was engineered, but now that they've come out the other end and assuming there's no more problems, which is a big assumption, then that contract's going to be fairly team-friendly, and they can eject on it if there are any problems, I'm sure. But, you know, that $14 million hanging there is a problem. Now, that being said, the guys that are out on the field can make plays. And they're not. And the single biggest problem in this game was no doubt the Chiefs' inability to stop the Texans' run. That was number one. Number two was their inability to pressure Deshaun Watson. He is a quarterback that had been sacked 18 times in five games. In fact, he'd been sacked 18 and four before playing the Falcons, who are a woeful defense. And so you'd like to think that you're better than them, but not the case.
42 pass plays, no sacks, two quarterback hits.
Yeah. Number three, penalties. Some of which, by the way, this is maybe the closest I'll get to being like, wow, the officiating was a real problem. There are hold penalties that I just don't see. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And there are muggings that aren't called. And then there are penalties that are called. And, you know, take your pick on what's the biggest play of the game. Is the biggest play of the game Juan Thornhill intercepting the ball instead of knocking it down? Because then the next play, which is the sack, strip, fumble, which sets up Houston to steal a touchdown in the last 30 seconds of the half after having just scored a touchdown, doesn't happen. If it's not the Thornhill, then it's definitely the one where he gets sacked and stripped. Is it the overturned? I mean, these are the candidates I have. Is it the overturned? And by the way, Thornhill will not win out. I get it. He should have knocked it down. I also get it that there's a lot going on. And when, you know, you talk to guys, they talk about the game slowing down after you've been around. And I think the NFL is still fast for Juan Thornhill. I think Steve Spagnuolo gave cover fire to him for not knocking it down. While I don't know that you have to be a savvy veteran to know to knock it down, I do not believe that Juan Thornhill's the only guy that would have picked that off, because I've seen it numerous times. And when there's a lot of things going on, it's a little harder than sitting on your couch with the fellas. But it's a mistake nonetheless, and you're in the get-it-right business, and you're paid a lot of money to get it right. Juan Thornhill blew it. But I'm not so sure that the biggest one wasn't the non-PI on Kelce. Now, again, you've got to overcome it, but that's one where I believe, and you'll hear Patrick Mahomes say this, he saw it. I don't believe the ball was in the air. And I look forward to the All-22 because the television does not have a shot. They do not. Poor job by CBS. Go to a camera where you can see the ball in the air, especially after we just had to spend, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? It's 2 weeks ago against the Lions, where we had to watch whether or not one of the Chiefs receivers' feet were in bounds for the next 18 plays.
No, that was last week.
Was that last week?
Yeah, that was Mecole Hardman. And then like two possessions later, they kept showing whether his foot was out of bounds, whether it would have been pass interference had he been out of bounds, and
right,
blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that was the Colt game.
If you can obsess on that, then for God's sake, give me a shot of the ball whether it's in the air when Travis Kelce's being accosted. Come on, CBS. Everybody has a bad day. Nobody gets everything right. That's it. I'm not going to
lament. That's just planning. They didn't need to react. You just got to have a camera fed to the field. That's it.
Well, and I have no doubt they do. They just didn't get to it. Now, in their defense, trying to figure out what the hell they were saying was its own challenge.
Yep.
And I think there may be a truth if I dug through the rule book. There may be truth to exactly what they said, that they at least explained the rule properly. But there is no way on earth that at 5-plus yards, Travis Kelce is not being manhandled.
Yeah. The official before
essentially, the ball comes out, he is clearly, the guy starts riding him to the ground at about a yard or two across the line and continues all the way 10-plus yards down the field. The penalty occurred at 5.1 yards.
Yeah.
And so there's no way, and you will hear Patrick Mahomes say, I said, did you see the penalty? He said, well, I can't say I saw the flag, but you see kind of that something's going on. It's that doesn't look right. We've all watched it. We've all watched it. That didn't look right. That's a travel.
Yeah.
You'd blow the whistle. And go, oh, boy, was that right? And then you go back and look at the replay. Yeah, it was right. It didn't look right. You knew it. You'd have blown the whistle. Same thing here. That didn't look right. You knew it. Hey, I got a freebie. Mm-hmm. He's taking him to the ground. It was a monster play. Listen, dumb officiating takes away smart football. Patrick Mahomes made a smart play. Now, he doesn't go, oh, yeah, I saw the flag. It was a joke, blah, blah, blah. No, he just goes, yeah, I could kind of see it in his I'm not going to offend anyone way.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll hear that. It was a critical point in the game. They were knocking on the door of answering after they had, by the way, scored a touchdown, Houston had, and then missed an extra point. You go in and make that 24-9, Houston's like, ah, we didn't gain anything.
Yeah.
It's my vote for the biggest play of the game.
Yeah.
And it's not very often that I think the biggest play of the game is the officials screwing it up, but I do think that ended up being the biggest play of the game. Now, it's no excuse. Defense didn't stop anybody, didn't put any pressure on Deshaun Watson. They lost. They deserved to lose. The L's there because they deserved to lose. And Houston deserved to win. All right, so there's a difference. Doesn't mean that, oh, it's okay what the Chiefs did. No, not at all. But that was monumental in this game. And so, look, the Chiefs defense has problems, so you have to coach like the defense has problems. That includes possessing the football with 32 seconds to go at your own 20 in two timeouts at the end of the second quarter. I'm going to tell you, and maybe you're the guy that applauds every time Andy Reid runs the draw to start the hurry-up offense at the end of the first half. Maybe you're that guy. I'd like to say hello. My name is Seren. I host the program here. And I hope to shake your hand or talk to you one day, because you've never blanking called this show ever. So hello to you. Guy who loves the draw to start the hurry up offense. Guy who loves the we've got two timeouts, but I don't feel it right now. Momentum's not going our way. Let's take a knee and get to the half. I would like to introduce myself to you. I am Seren. And I look forward to one day talking to you, because I have never, ever spoken to you in my life. I have taken thousands of calls on this show, and not once has anybody called me and said, I love me a draw to get it going. Maybe a pop one. Let's keep them honest. Let's make sure we don't turn it over. That call has never happened. That tweet went out at an alarming pace after Patrick Mahomes was sacked.
Sent out by roughly, everyone. Except for you and me.
That's right, because we're the only ones that get it. See what we're saying here, people?
It's just us two manning the barracks.
Listen, what every call after a loss ultimately boils down to that is made to this program is they shouldn't have lost. Why did they lose? Don't lose. I don't like losing. They lost. Don't lose. That's every call. That's what it boils down to. All right. Very rarely is there an understanding of the big picture and the other team on the field being pretty good. All right. That's just how it is. It's human nature. I get it. We're not Texan fans, so we don't want to talk about the things that the Texans did really well. We're Chiefs fans, so let's focus on what they should have done to get a victory. All right. But I will tell you this. 32 seconds, one timeout. Well, 32 seconds and two timeouts
they
had.
The Chiefs had three, I think, at 32.
I think they had two. Was it two? You might look. You might look and see. I thought they had two. Because I think they hadn't they lost a challenge? And didn't they lose the timeout on the challenge for the for something somewhere? Is my recollection. But anyway, I thought I remember seeing two. But my point to this is if you want a precedent, you need only go back to the AFC Championship game. Chiefs had just given up a score by the Patriots. They trailed by 3 points in the fourth quarter. They had one timeout. They possessed the ball at their own 31. They would kick a field goal to tie it with 11 seconds on the clock. Do you know how many seconds were on the clock to start that drive? 32. The exact same amount as the Chiefs had at the end of the first half. Now, do I like that they got sacked and stripped and fumbled the ball and the Texans had it point blank and punched it in? No. Is it an excuse? Does it make it okay for Andy Reid? No, he's in the get it right business. But the getting it right business is not one that anybody goes undefeated in. The get it right business is one where you need to get it right more than you get it wrong. You need to get it right a lot more than you get it wrong. I don't know what the magic number is. Is it 60%, 67, 70, 75, 80, 90, 99? I don't know what the percentage is. No one's 100%. He needs to get it right more than he gets it wrong. But this football team last year was able to go all the way down to the 11, 48 yards in 21 seconds. That's what this offense is. Now, I'm certainly open to if you want to say, and I had this conversation with Jeff Chedid out at the practice facility, if you want to tell me that, well, but you didn't have it today. I mean, I'd listen to it. You're not protecting the quarterback well. He's got a bum ankle. I'll listen to all that. And all those are things that have to be factored in. But I know this. Which side of the ball is good? You want to know one of the reasons why the defense isn't as bad this year as it was last year? Because last year's defense took up 42% of the salary cap. This year's defense takes up 29%. At least you're somewhat getting what you paid for. The firepower on this team is on the offensive side of the ball. You're not going to sit back and say, I'm going to let my defense win this. You have to score points. We'll talk to Trent Green about this because Trent Green obviously played on a team that was heavily weighted towards the offensive side of the ball. Listen, you got to go get it done. The offense has got to get it done. All right? Period. Simple. End of subject. And if they don't, then you take the L. Because your defense isn't good. You cannot scream and yell about the defense being terrible and then be pissed when the offense goes for it. I think the defense has got real problems. This offense has got to go for it. They've got to be dynamic. They've got to be aggressive. And when they have 32 seconds and two timeouts, as long as 15 is taking the snaps, it's go for it time. It is absolutely go for it time. And sometimes you get a turd in your Cheerio bowl. That's just life, man. But I sure as hell do not want to just take an eat, a wait, and come back and hand the Texans the ball to start the next half so they can grab back-to-back scores. You need points. You've got to grab some momentum. So, look, there are a lot of things that went their way. I think an inability to make plays at the key moments kind of makes you look unlucky. They're still not getting blown out. They're still in these games. They can still steal them. They stole the Lion game. They couldn't steal the next two. That's what this team is. They're a 3.5-point favorite in Denver. I like them in Denver. I think they will win in Denver, but we will see. There's no doubt this team has issues. It's not the best team in the NFL. The defense is not going to come around to a point that we're going to say it's the best team in the NFL. So if they're going to win it, they need to get healthy, and they need to get real dynamic on offense again. 9133, oh, yes, and they do need to still get better on defense. But the idea of them being great on defense, no. That ship has left. 913-3-810-810. We'll hear a little from Patrick Mahomes. Take your calls next here in the program.
The Program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. He's the reigning NFL MVP and an ESPY winner. He has his own cereal.
Part of this complete breakfast.
He puts ketchup on ketchup. He's Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes.
How you doing?
Exclusively on the Program.
Presented by Community America Credit Union. With options like high interest savings, wealth management, Chiefs checking, and more. Community America is powering the rise of Kansas City. Visit communityamerica.com to learn more. And by Xfinity. Get live stats and scores right on your TV with Xfinity X1. Only from Xfinity.
All right, welcome back here in the program. We're going to get to your phone calls here in a minute. 913-3-810-810. We'll hear the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, from the Reese Nichols Studios. Next to a fern, you know, the Galifianakis, because they got, like, so many things going on. I was in a little office.
By one fern?
Yeah, there was one little fern next to the recorder. So it was literally Patrick Mahomes by a fern. We'll get to the entire thing coming up at 5 o'clock, as we're in a new Reese Nichols studio with Patrick Mahomes. I asked him, first of all, how is the ankle doing?
The ankle's doing good. I mean, honestly, we went through the game yesterday. Obviously, we wanted to win, but I'm doing good now and kind of moving on to the Broncos.
It seemed like on that shot, because I've had a couple of people mention this to me, that not only did, you know, the ankle maybe get rolled up on a little bit, but you went down pretty hard and your head maybe banged against the turf. Were you okay? Did you, you know, was the hit, you know, kind of dinging you up in a couple of different spots?
I think more of just the guy falling on the ankle more than just actually rolling it or doing anything like that kind of shook me for a second. But it came back to really quickly. I obviously hit the ground pretty hard, but luckily I had that nice helmet, the Vices helmet they have nowadays. And so it actually didn't shake me that much. Just didn't execute as we kind of went through the game, and so just trying to find ways to execute better will be the focus point this week.
You get off to a great start. You know, you hit Tyreek Hill on the big play. You threw it up there, and he went and got it. You know, for a guy who's not the biggest guy, you know, he's not really the guy you say, here's our jump ball guy, but he seems to win those a lot. And you seemed almost – I mean, obviously very happy and excited, but almost like even you, from your vantage point down the field, were kind of in awe of how high he went up and to come down with that ball. Were you a little surprised to see him come down with it, or was it watching him fight his way into the end zone?
I think just the mixture of both. I mean, obviously that was an amazing play for anyone to make, and I think that's what's get lost with Tyreek, with him being so fast, is how much of a just overall great receiver he is, able to run routes, able to make the contested catches, able to jump up and catch it over the top of people. I mean, he is a complete receiver, and so I think having the free play definitely helped out of me just putting it up there, but to him catching the ball and then getting into the end zone on such a critical play on the first drive, it definitely had me excited.
How excited were you? I know how Coach Reed likes to script things out. I don't know if he shares. I assume you get a pretty good idea of what those initial plays are. To stretch the field and send him out there on that first play, not having had Tyreek out there for so long, to get him to be able to go down the field, was there – like, hey, no, just like, here, we're back. We're going to send this message right away, even if they know it's coming?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely he's a difference maker. I mean, he's someone that the defense has to account for on every single play, and someone that I'm glad to have back. And, I mean, he's a great player, and he works his tail off, so I'm glad to have him on the field.
Do you have to calm him down? Because he seemed like he was bouncing off. I mean, you could see how much he loves to play the game, how excited he was to be back out there. Do you ever have to tell him, chill, man? Chill.
No, I don't. I mean, he enjoys it. He enjoys playing football, and I think that's how we roll as an offense and as a team. And so I think as long as we keep having fun out there and keep doing our thing, then hopefully we can keep having success.
You ever seen him get tired?
Never. He'll go out there and run miles and miles, then he'll play basketball or do something, and then he's eating gummy bears, and it's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
He looks like, I mean, because he's very stout.
Yes.
Right? He's not tall, but, I mean, he is thick. Thick legs, thick arms, thick neck. Looks like, I mean, he looks like a little fullback is what he looks like. He should wear out doing all the running, right? He's supposed to be a sprint guy and then sit and relax till it's the next sprint, but he seems to run all day.
No, yeah, he's full of energy at all times, and he loves to be with the guys and doing different things, and I always say it's kind of unfair. Like, he can eat like fast food and gummy bears and have 0% body fat, and then I have to watch what I eat because I might get up there too quick, so it's unfair for guys like me.
Gummy bears and fast food all the time, me. No problem.
Yeah.
That just makes me nervous. I actually try to eat well, and I'm still a fat load, so go figure. What does – you touched on this a little bit on the podium. What does having him out there do? How does that change the dynamics, and how much did you notice, okay, just the threat of him opening some things up for you guys?
Yeah, definitely. With all the man coverage that we've been seeing lately, I think having him out there, it really puts a lot of different pressure on the defense. And so that's the biggest thing is, as you kind of saw, they came out early thinking they were going to play that set press man coverage, and he kind of burned them a little early in the game, and then they had to start bailing a little bit faster and kind of getting back out of there and have a safety over the top, which will hopefully keep opening other guys up on the other side of the field.
I know you guys – You have a move for every move they make, mm-hmm. right? The game is about adjustments, and Coach Reed is you know, one of, and some people say, the greatest offensive mind out there. So I know there's always something that you can do no matter what they throw at you, and ultimately it comes down to the guys on the field executing. But teams found something within the game? Because, again, this time you got off to such a great start and then seemed to go cold for about two quarters. Was it something they did, or was it just – you know, kind of a combination of, I don't want to call it bad luck, right? But penalties, some missed executions at the worst time that kind of snowballed and kept you guys out of the end zone or off the scoreboard for a couple of quarters.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a little bit of both. I mean, they played good defense and they tightened up a little bit as the game went on and kept us from executing like we were early in the game. But at the same time, there's just when you hurt yourself with penalties and you hurt yourself with not executing at the right times in the game, I mean, there's a little margin of error you can have in this game to still win football games, and so we messed up at the wrong times, and it cost us a game in the end.
All right, there it is, Patrick Mahomes, quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, talking about it. There's no doubt Tyreek Hill brings an explosive element back. Be nice to have Sammy Watkins out there. We'll see if he plays against the Denver Broncos. Be nice to get Travis Kelce more involved. It'd be nice to get the running game going better. They weren't able to do it, and in the end of the day, they lose. This one to me is even more disappointing than the Colts.
Oh yeah,
because there was, to me, you get Tyreek Hill back, you got to find a way to win the game.
You lead by 14 at home. That's got to be a victory.
Now, that being said, they're down another offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were only down the guard for a little bit last game, but now they're down left tackle and left guard. The injuries are a big part of what's happening, but they still have to find a way to win.
Yeah, I mean, people talking about
and that's what
scheme
you
and,
heard
right,
from
right,
the quarterback
exactly.
there.
Exactly. But, I mean, when you have Cam Irving next to Martinez Rankin on the left side of your offensive line, that's an issue. When you have Colin Saunders backed up by Ben Neiman in your starting seven, your front seven on defense, I mean, it's hard to out-scheme them. They have to do their best, but I mean, it's a combination of guys that are down and the guys who are there that aren't down just have not played well at all in those situations.
913-3-810-810, the phone number. Let's talk to Jeff. You're in the program. Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, Saran. Well, we're still crying buckets of tears over that game yesterday, but Saran, just a couple of quick comments, and I'll get off of here.
Okay.
As my dog is barking in the yard. Saran, you said before the break that you think they're going to be okay in Denver, and my friend, I have to respectfully disagree with you.
Okay.
The Broncos 2 weeks ago, Saran, were four games out. They win this game Thursday night, they'll only be one game out with nine more still to play. And I just, everybody's creeping up on them right now. And the other thing, and I'll get out of here, Saran, is when during the past off season did Bob Sutton legally change his name to Steve Spagnuolo? Okay, I'm done, man. I'm out of here.
All right, I appreciate it, Jeff. Listen, you know, The defense, the personnel is not good enough. And they changed out Justin Houston, Eric Berry, and Dee Ford for Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, then they added draft picks. If you want to say, well, Juan Thornhill's right here. And, yeah, they added guys. But, I mean, overall, you know, and Chris Jones didn't play in this last game.
Right.
I get it. But, you know, ideally, hindsight 2020. And, look, Dee Ford's playing well for the 49ers. He's got three other wrecking crews out there.
Yes.
He watched
that game yesterday.
He works exclusively one-on-one.
Right.
All right? And I think at the end of the day, we may end up saying, look, Dee Ford may only have one trick. And it's that pure speed rush, although he did have a little bit of a bull rush I saw yesterday in watching that game. But that one trick is so much better than the combination of skills that Frank Clark has. Dee Ford's the better player. That could be. I mean, look, I will say this. You don't want to have to lose Dee Ford and Justin Houston in the same offseason. You don't want Justin Houston to be on a contract that's so heavy you have to get rid of it. If you do lose him, you want to be able to trade him and get something for him. In the end, they need another guy on that front line. They're not good enough. Okafor and Ogba and
right.
Nnadi are not good enough with Chris Jones and Frank Clark. And so I don't think the talent – look, Bob Sutton could have been better with better talent. So can Steve Spagnuolo. I think we're still a ways away from saying Spagnuolo and Sutton are the same.
Right. I don't know what the winning scheme is. I mentioned
They gave up 31,
name.
Not 54 yeah. in this loss.
Yeah, I gave up Saunders and Neiman. Those guys are playing as well as they can. I'm not trying to, you know, slight them individually. They don't have the requisite talent to perform at a high level in the National Football League right now. They don't have enough guys. I mean, I get Chris Jones is a big loss, but I mean, they faced 83 plays yesterday and had one tackle for loss. It's the fourth time in their history. They've had 80 plays, and I had a sack.
And in
reality, Chris Jones is good, but he ain't that damn good.
When you tack on the penalties, it was 93 snaps.
Yeah, 90.
And they had one tackle for loss. It's 83 plays. It's 93 snaps.
Yes.
And they had one tackle for loss. Listen, I'm not going to tell you the scheme was exemplary either.
No?
I mean, Steve Spagnuolo plays a role. I'm not trying to give him a free pass, but I think we're finding out that when you change coordinators and the results are the same, that it's more than just the coaches. Sean in Jersey, you're in the program. What's up, Sean?
Hey, so right now you guys doing today?
Good, buddy. What's on your mind?
All right. Just looking at this defense, I mean, they're not gap disciplined. They're too small. That front seven is small. I was looking at the linebacking core yesterday, and I said, wow, they're very small. And I think that's why we're seeing the D line and the linebackers getting knocked back 6 yards before they can even attempt to make a tackle. Because they're not getting through the gaps. They're not plugging them up, and they're getting blown away. And it's a problem. And like you said, we're not going to win depending on this defense. We may get a takeaway here or there. I mean, granted, the secondary is a lot better than what they were last year. But for the most part of it, we're not going to win with this defense. We're going to have to outscore and just hope that they can play a little bit. I mean, a lot better down the stretch against the run. And another thing I noticed is that I see Pat Mahomes on the sideline, you know, getting at some of the players and things like that. But I don't see nobody from this defense stepping up and bringing people, calling people out. I mean, to me, the defense it's soft. I don't even see Spagnuolo calling people out.
Who on the defense has got a outstanding season in a Chiefs uniform to where they could be that guy to look around and tell everybody what to do?
Nobody, but they need to. Somebody needs to just step up. I mean, hey, listen, I'm not doing my part on the defense. We're not doing our part as a whole, but we got to get it together.
Sean, listen, rah-rah speeches are great, and thank you for the call. They don't tackle anybody. We always want a guy to show some emotion. Let's see some fire. Somebody get after him. Oh, bite me. Right? What do we need is somebody to knock somebody's, you know, Richard in the dirt. That's what needs to happen, okay? You need people that can blow somebody up. Chris Jones is the closest thing to that on this team. He wasn't playing yesterday. Tyrann Mathieu's been a good player. He did not have a great day yesterday. And I don't know that you can be that guy as the new guy in. This team, the Eric Berry and Justin Houston, I'll call them failures in this organization because that's how their contracts ultimately ended up finishing, is haunting this team beyond just the salary cap. Justin Houston should still be on this team playing at a high level on a renegotiated and extended deal, and there you would have a guy. But you know what? Justin Houston wasn't even that guy. Justin Houston was too busy bitching about, you know, I don't know what. He had to wait a year to get his $100 million contract. He had to wait a year to get $71.5 million. And so, you know, look, this is the reality. This is why it's hard. You're one of 32 with a level playing field. This is why it's hard. You know, because they're not little motorized electric football guys that just bounce around on the table. Their personalities, they're pain in the asses. Some of them are great guys. Some of them work hard. Some of them not so hard. Some of them are great athletes. Some of them are okay athletes. Putting it all together is hard. It's not an excuse. I'm just saying it's hard. And but the rah-rah speech, you know, I don't know how many times I've heard about a baseball team that needs somebody to break something in the dugout. Well, that's not going to put the bat on the ball.
Turn over the post-game spread.
Yeah, like, I mean,
have a meeting.
Yeah, but your point about not filling gaps, yes, wide open gaps. Why? Sometimes because they can't get off a block and fill the gap. Sometimes because the D-line gets shoved all over the place, and there are three gaps that are open. So linebackers can't cover three gaps. That was the case with Nelson destroying Derek Nnadi.
Right.
Taking his soul.
Literally.
So, look, if you ask me where it is, they're a finesse defensive line. They're an undersized linebacking core. I agree with that. But 4-3s often have undersized linebackers. They got to run A to B, get there. Now, to run A to B, one, you got to have speed, and two, you can't have two guys blocking you. The guys up front have to be doing their job so you can fly around to the football. So I am still optimistic that they can get better. I think they will be better when they're playing from in front. I think there was a reason why when the Chiefs were scoring, they were holding them to three. And then it started to get away. And they had a chance, if they get a touchdown, to be leading 24-9, but the interception killed that. So it was still just 17-9. They made it 17-16. They had a chance to go down and make it 20-16 or maybe 24-16. They scored a touchdown against the Raiders in one play right before the half. Now, they got the ball at about the 40 of the Raiders after the kick return, after the punt return. So they only had 40 yards to go, 39 yards to go to find DeMarcus Robinson. But if they do that, then I think the defense has a chance to be more effective. But once they got behind, then the defense really gets in a bind because then the other team can run it. Listen, I know the run thing has been a big topic around here. These are the run-pass breakdowns of the Texans. First quarter, they ran it seven times, threw it eight. They trailed 17-3. Second quarter, they ran it 11 times, threw it 16. They took a 23-17 lead. They won that quarter 20-0. Third quarter, the Chiefs win 7-0. They ran it 9, threw it 11. Fourth quarter, they win 8-0. They ran it 14 and ran it 7. They threw to win and then ran when they were winning. And if the Chiefs can put the Texans down, they have a chance to not have them bleed the clock. The Chiefs had four snaps in the fourth quarter. Yeah. That's a problem.
You're talking about beating a guy, but that to me is why so much was talked about fundamentals today, and on the offensive and defensive lines in particular. You know who has really good fundamentals? Good guys who are good. Mm-hmm. You know who's bad fundamentals? Guys who are bad. But even if a guy who's not that great a player, he may have great fundamentals, an offensive or defensive lineman, and he does everything right. But if he doesn't have the strength and explosiveness, just the physical skill of the guy across from him, your perfect fundamentals won't matter. If you get beat, you might have to hold a guy, or you might have to you know, do something illegal. That's where some of the penalties are coming from. It isn't just fundamentals. Guys just aren't good enough.
913-3-810-810. More of your calls next here in the program.
New time, same team. The Program with Saren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Taylor from The Athletic coming up. Your phone calls right now, 913-3-810-810. Joey, you're in the program. What's up, Joey?
Saran, hello, sir.
Chris, how are you, buddy? Hello. What do you got going today?
I'm out in an apartment community doing a little maintenance.
Okay.
So, how are you guys?
I'm fine.
All right. All right, so first question, Saran and Curtis. Why, oh, why? I saw Darrell Williams have a great first quarter. Why did he abandon it? And Andy Reid just say, hey, go sit on the bench. My second question is, what has happened to little Darwin Thompson? So I will listen. Thanks, guys.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thanks for the kind words. Listen, I don't know where Darrell Williams went. That's one of the ones to me. I mean, I think they obviously had a play. They'd seen something on film. They thought, okay, they're not going to cover Williams out of the backfield. Let's sneak him out there and get him. But let's run him a little bit. Look, LeSean McCoy had success running the ball. Damian Williams did not have success blocking.
No.
Damian Williams was only given the ball to run once, but his pass blocking left a lot to be desired. So I wouldn't mind seeing more of Darrell Williams, and I think it's something they've got to get to. Listen, the Dolphins walked on Damian Williams for a reason. Part of an injury, but also they didn't. If they thought they had a budding superstar, they wouldn't have let him walk.
Right, and I mean, McCoy's problem the previous week was said that was he had some protection issues. So you don't pass protect. He's got enough to deal with backs who don't block.
I agree. Northland Joe, you're in the program. What's up, Joe?
Thanks for taking my call, Saran.
You bet, buddy. What's on your mind?
First off, I know we kind of had the perfect storm. We went up against Sean Hockley and his flag-happy crew, which...
They actually were the fifth lowest penalties, and I assume there's 16 crews. Fifth lowest, so that puts them, you know, at the bottom of the top third for the fifth fewest penalties coming in, although they do call, I think it was the second most holding penalties overall. But total penalties, they were the fifth fewest in football coming into that.
You know, we had 21 penalties yesterday in the Chiefs game, and you look at some of the other game statistics, they're like 7, 10, 12, I don't know. But anyhow, my main point that I wanted to get to, and it's a biggie, if the Chiefs miss the playoffs, who loses their job?
No one.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
I mean, miss the playoffs how? 9-7? No one.
Okay.
5-11?
Who should it be?
5-11? I don't know. Yeah. Let me ask you. Yeah. Who should it be?
Well, I think you've got to put Beach on the line as a possibility.
And I'm fine with that.
But is it him or is it Spags? I mean, it's
well. I think they're both in the crosshairs.
Yeah.
And I think rightfully so. And Joe, thank you for the call. You asked me, will they? They won't. Neither one of them will. Under almost no circumstances. I don't see them going 5-11 for one. Yeah. I think they will be good enough that they will press on. They stayed as long as they did with Bob Sutton. I don't think they're going to eject on Spagnuolo. And I really think a GM needs 4 years so he can say it's all his fault.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question. Sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense. Not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, since they began tracking it in 1977, how many times have the Chiefs had a worse time of possession in a home game than Sunday? Brought to you by Good Sense.
Red Monday.